They have several locations in the St. Louis metro area to serve you. Order online today at WKF.com. Walter Knoll Floors, your personal florist since 1883.
Dear obsessed fans of St. Louis Bread Company's Strawberry Poppy Seed and Chicken Salad, the Strawberry Poppy Seed and Chicken Salad has returned, only at St. Louis Bread Company.
Are you paralyzed by the media's never-ending doom and gloom about retirement? Find out what's true and what's hype. Learn how to take control on America's Wealth Management Show this Saturday afternoon at 1 right here on 550 KTRS.
Gather your friends and family and head to the Playhouse at Westport Plaza this June for a guaranteed treat for all ages. Stager St. Louis presents The Perfect Feline Adventure, Disney's The Aristocats. Tickets on sale now. StagersSTLewis.org.
This hour of the John Carney Show was presented by R&R Sanitation, where they want your stinking business.
Each and every weekday morning at 6:50, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus gives us insights into the financial markets and investing. To get your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and tune in weekday mornings at 6:50 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Looking to try a new local restaurant?
Search Kuna Foods' new dining website, bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com. Like them on Facebook. That's bestrestaurantsinst.louis.com.
Yeah, we were still on.
Who controls this show anyway?
No one.
No one. Oh,
apparently.
Okay. Well, TGIF, everybody. I'm Bill Cleveland in
hey,
for
did you just make
Frank
that
Opinion.
Up?
TGIF.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just hear people say it.
Now, a lot of people would say.
What just happened to that?
I'm curious, though.
A lot of people would say, thank goodness it's Friday.
I'm curious, Ian. Do you play these songs off of YouTube?
I do.
So when you pick a new song, is it something that's been suggested by YouTube, or are you looking for stuff?
No.
Because we were just talking.
I go
about
out and look, yeah.
Oh,
no,
you are,
I don't
okay.
go to the related videos.
All right,
no.
Good. Putting in a little effort. I thought maybe you're
all about the effort.
Just
right.
wondering. Well, I mean, you know, that was that one mistake just a few minutes ago.
Ball.
So I just wanted to make sure.
Big ball full of effort.
There's never any mistakes on this show.
It's all on purpose. All right. Let's just get right to it. In the studio is, does he have music or anything?
No.
Well, listen, why don't you have any music?
We usually have music on Tuesdays. But yeah, Fridays we don't.
Oh. If it were up to me, you'd have some music.
It's all about movies.
Yeah. Well, why can't you play something? Whatever.
What's happening?
It's not my place. Colin Jeffrey is here, and he is brought to you by Oric and the St. Louis Area Home Care Centers and Oric.com, the website. And do we get to applaud for him at least?
Sure.
So, okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's Colin, everybody.
Hey.
Hey there, Bill.
Now, I'm going to mention this, you and I have already talked about it before, but Colin teamed up with a guy that I work with on Saturdays, and his name is James. And James started doing a little segment on the Saturday evening show, and it's all about comic books and things, which I don't know anything about comic books. I don't know anything about comic book characters. And I'll be honest, I don't care about them, but a lot of people do, and a lot of people like them. Colin and James got together, and I know a couple of weeks ago when I was out of town, and they did a nice show and talked a lot about movies and all the comic book type of stuff. Stuff like that. Maybe they cover at Comic-Con, right? Wasn't that just in town?
Wizard World, sure.
Yeah, Wizard World Comic-Con.
And so,
is that the same thing, Comic-Con?
There's multiple Comic-Cons, but yes, it's one of them.
It's okay. It's like a brand of Comic-Con? Is that what it is? Okay. And they did a really nice job, and I'm now leading the effort here. I want the two of them to do like a podcast all about comic book stuff, because I think you got something here. You got to find that little niche, and I think this is one of those things that people who like that stuff, they really, really
and it's
like
not
it.
Just comic books. It's expanding now into
I keep
because
saying comic
you did books start books. End up watching The Walking Dead,
I
right?
I did.
And so the other day, last week, I don't know what day it was, I wasn't paying attention to, normally I'm glued to the Carney Show before ours, But to this day, I
was under the impression
to,
this was the Carney Show.
Well, today it is, okay. But yeah, not every day. But
that's right, crew.
So I didn't hear who they had on, and I was in the studio here working, and I look up and I see Michael Rooker, who played Merle The Walking Dead. So yeah. It was very shocking to see Merle all of a sudden standing outside the window here, but he had been on John's show. He was a guest, but it was there were six or seven guys out there
with
fanatics yeah. with their stuff, and he was very nice. He took pictures and autographs for all of them,
and he was part of the Comic-Con.
He was in town for that Wizard World thing.
He likes musicals.
Really?
We learned during
and
that
I
interview.
Think isn't it a deal too with it, because you're kind of part of that crowd, the fanatics where. You
I don't think
find...
he's a fanatic. Are you a fanatic? Are you a fanatic?
I delved into a little because I started it because we play softball on Wednesday together. And so Colin was telling me the other day he was trying to get out of here before the softball game and hit the comic book store because Wednesday is the new release book. Day.
Oh, so you are a fanatic.
Books. Yes.
No, I just like to...
Like to read them. And so I asked, I go, well, how, do you buy two of each copy? Are you one where one's for reading and one's for saving? He goes, no, I only buy one. But he goes, but I read it and it goes right into the bag, though, to the sealed bag where it's saved for posterity.
Now I've been told that, and actually I've read this, I believe, certain things that you can buy that sort of hold on to their value that are great sort of
collectibles.
You know, well, not even so much just collectibles, just things that will always sort of hold their value. And, maybe not as much as a brick of gold, perhaps, but I think comic books are one of those things that you're always going to be able to, at some point, if you need to,
don't they have to be rare,
unload.
Though?
There's important.
What if you have, like, a full, like, collection?
If every comic
that's
book
worth more, yeah.
Fanatic out there saving all these newer comics. Now there will be so many 50 years from now that I don't think they'll be worth anything.
I think that's part of it. Is it's baseball cards used to be a lot more rare, and it's the same way with comics.
Everybody started. I'm going to save these cards from the 80s.
Yeah.
But everybody was saving cards in the 80s. So
how many people listening right now had comic books and their mom threw them away? They had like a dresser full. Or
same with the baseball cards.
They
my
put
dad
them
tells
in the
me,
bicycle.
Yes,
spokes.
My dad tells me about all the Dan. You,
I am sick about the baseball cards that I put in my spokes. I'm sick about the cards that we flipped in school.
I had like a full set of 86 Topps baseball cards that were in the garage. And
how about
there was a water leak in there, so they were
that,
all ruined.
How about that bubble gum they used to put in? Was that the nastiest Topps? Bubble gum ever?
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah.
But man, you chewed it. It didn't matter.
Early baseball cards were actually, some of them were in tobacco products.
Yeah, they were.
So
I used to smoke a pack of cigarettes and flip my baseball cards.
So how many comic books do you have?
I don't know. Not a ton. I'm not a huge collector.
Well, like 100 comic books?
Probably a few more than that.
Like 1,000 comic
books? No. And it's nothing like James.
Now, on these comic book
I went to one of those
conventions.
Yeah.
A lot of the big things is like Iron Man and the superheroes. Are there stuff like Archie?
Yeah. In fact, Archie, next month, Archie, the full-size comic book, not
Ian's,
the little...
Ian's kid, is there?
Yes.
Wow.
No,
already?
It's a comic book series, which I was a fan of growing up.
Digests that are like Reader's Digest size that you see in the supermarket.
Those are the ones I used to read,
But there's like a full comic book size. That comes to an end, issue 666, next month.
Whoa.
And then they're restarting it with a more modern look.
Really?
See, that's what Colin was telling me a little bit about this the other day. With all these series of comic book people, at a certain point, they go, oh, they're dead. But we're going to restart the series, too, with a brand new story. So, essentially, I mean, I guess they can just go forever, killing the people off and then bringing them back.
For God's sake, The Simpsons have been the same age for 20-something years, right?
I
mean, it's the same thing. It doesn't matter. It's just, you know.
Maggie is never killed in an episode, though. And they go, oh, we're gonna reboot.
South Park. Okay. South Park. Kenny died.
Yes.
Wow. It's very interesting. I went 3 years ago, maybe. I think the first time that it was in St. Louis, I was invited to go, and I went one day, and I didn't know what to expect. But I will tell you that everybody there was really, really nice. I mean, people were having a great time, and I got to tell you, there were a lot of very attractive women at comic. I never in a million years would dream that there would be a lot of hotties at the comic book convention. Man,
there you go, Bill.
Tons of them. tons of them.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a little excited.
We'll get you a little Superman outfit.
Yeah. It would have to be a little Superman outfit.
You can go get it.
Hi, I'm Superboy.
Yeah. Hi, I'm, does he have a little sidekick or something, Superman?
It's Superboy.
Oh, there is Superboy. Superboy. Well, there you go. Sign me up.
What was it? Yeah.
Superboy with gray hair.
The young kid that worked at the Daily Planet with Clark, Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy Olsen.
Jimmy, there you go. You could be Jimmy Olsen.
God almighty. All right. Well, I think you need to do the little podcast thing we were talking about. I think there's a market for that. I think there's an audience. I think people would really I wouldn't listen to it, but I think there are a lot of people that really would like to.
Okay. So, we'll see. You want to talk about movies?
Yeah, what the heck?
We've got a big blockbuster coming out this week and a romantic comedy coming out this week. Let's tackle the blockbuster first. It's San Andreas. It stars Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, who has been in several successful movies, namely Fast and Furious, Furious 7 this year, but hasn't ever really carried a movie by himself. And so this movie tries to set him up to do that, to carry a movie. San Andreas. When I say those words, what do you think of?
Earthquake.
There you go. That's what this movie's about. But for some reason...
It's in California, right?
Yes.
San Andreas.
For some reason, they feel it necessary to give us 15 minutes of exposition explaining earthquakes.
At the start?
Yes.
Kind of a, yeah.
At the start. Now, I will say this. Dwayne Johnson plays a rescue pilot. His name is Ray. He works for the fire department in Los Angeles and is a chopper pilot that goes in and rescues people who have, you know, fallen off cliffs or, you know, had mishaps while hiking. And the first scene is really pretty intense and good. He has to save a young woman whose car has crashed off the side of a mountain, and he's got to go in and save her. And it's good. This is before the earthquake. You're just introduced to the character. And so I was like, okay, I'm down for this. And then it's sort of a downhill slide from there on out. Paul Giamatti plays a geologist who discovers that they can now predict earthquakes shortly before they happen using some, I don't know, science we'll call, movie science. And they can predict earthquakes. And all of a sudden, they see, our readings are off the charts. There's going to be a huge earthquake. And what happens is a huge earthquake that travels from Los Angeles up to San Francisco. They say the entire San Andreas Fault is activating.
Oh.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Ian will probably remember this name. Ivan Browning.
Ivan Browning.
Sure.
Ivan Brown. Wasn't that his name?
Ivan.
Oh, yeah. I-B. Oh.
Ivan Browning.
I was in, I want to say, fifth grade. And this guy predicted an earthquake. And I remember we had to go through all these drills. They were thinking about calling off school. And they had a day that they thought that an earthquake.
September 19th.
Is that when it was?
It was supposed to be September 19th. I can't remember the year. It was like 93 or 94 or something like that.
And of course, it never happened.
No.
Yeah. You can't predict an earthquake.
No.
There's a story in the news today. Maybe you saw it where a guy is trying to predict an earthquake. I want to say maybe in Utah somewhere.
It's a noble pursuit. Yeah. Go for it if you could save some people, because you see this in this. These are the largest earthquakes ever recorded. And what do? They hide under tables. We've been having earthquakes since before there were humans. And the best defense we have is get under that table.
Yes.
And that hasn't changed. So here's my problem. With this movie, it's supposed to be the big special effects movie of the summer. It's going to have these crazy scenes. That's what they sell you in the previews. The problem is the first earthquake movie I could find is a 1933 movie called Deluge. And outside of making it look prettier, the way that you show an earthquake on screen is some things fall off shelves and people move and fall over. That hasn't changed. The big scenes, yeah, you know, that's better, but it's not great. And earthquakes don't film well. So, of course, they have to add the inevitable tsunami that follows the earthquake.
Have you been in an earthquake?
No, have you?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What's it like? I've always wondered.
It's I'll never forget my first earthquake. I was in high school, and there was some construction actually going on at our high school, Corona, California. And so we always had these like dump trucks and things going by the campus. So we were used to these loud noises. And so we all in the class thought that a dump truck was driving by, and I remember looking out the window, and there was no dump truck, and it was just really sort of bizarre. And then all of a sudden you realize, holy crap, that's not a dump truck. This is an earthquake. And the lights started shaking. And like you said, you know, under the desk. That's where you go. You go under the desk. That's what they teach you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I was just as pale as a, you know, even more pale than I normally am. And it was a very, I won't say it was scary. It was just weird. And you can't explain it. You can't explain it until you go through
it. It's very strange because we've had several
here. You can't run from it.
We've had several here. We were in my backyard playing as kids. And all of a sudden, the fence started shaking, the chain link fence. And you hear it rattling. And all of a sudden, the ground was kind of rumbling under you. Like, what in the world happened? And then it's like, oh, we just had an earthquake. And then early 2000s, I think. I was at my house, and it was they called it a rolling earthquake. It was like a steamroller was mm-hmm. under the ground, and it just rolled. It was really, that was a weird feel.
The worst part though is the aftershocks, because you know they're coming and you don't know when. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. that's really weird. So.
Yes, but I actually did. I managed to pull a clip from this movie.
This
Ian, if you are ready with that. There you go. So,
wow.
Boy, there's
that stuff falling off
CGI
the show.
CGI has come a long way. I mean, everybody else can't see the video here, but
you know, I was here for the preparation of that. That was now it all makes sense.
Well, worth the payoff.
Makes sense, exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, the dialogue's cheesy. The CGI is
Jeez.
Fine. It's not particularly great. Just turn your brain off when you go to see this, and I think you
isn't
will
that
be
any movie though?
Right.
Shouldn't you turn your brain off when you go to any movie?
No, Schindler's List required a bit.
Well,
of thought.
Yeah, okay.
So,
but for the most part, isn't that sort of the deal when you go to? Honest to God, the last time I went to a movie was Anchorman 2 when that came out. I haven't been to a movie.
Turn since. Your brain off for that one.
Yeah, well, I did.
Yeah,
I did.
There's some movies that I think require a bit of thinking. But this is a summer destruction movie. I'm happy it came out at the beginning of summer as opposed to the end when I'm worn out on blockbusters, because I think it's fresh in the blockbuster season. It's nothing compelling. I mean, if you want to go have sort of a good, loud time, go for it. But you're going to hear cheesy dialogue. This doesn't sell me on The Rock as sort of a leading man. I think he's an amazingly charming actor, and in real life, it seems like a perfectly nice guy, but you know, this is just think if you liked Day After Tomorrow or Tommy Lee Jones and Volcano or 2012, you'll like this movie.
I'm ready for Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World.
Excuse
yes.
me. See, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I want to see
I'm,
that.
I'm
too.
Really excited.
I like Chris Pratt. So
that was
I'm hoping it's
the first movie I remember seeing that had the surround sound. Jurassic Park. Is,
oh,
that,
yeah,
is that true? Was that the first one?
I don't know
one?
If that's the first one, but I remember that roar in theaters. Oh, my
and
gosh.
You, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
The first time when Jeff Goldblum sees that. Oh, that was great.
Is he in this one? This new one?
I think so. Okay. I don't even know.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum is in this
Sorry,
one?
I know that wasn't on your,
Wait
your,
a minute,
your list.
What?
Nothing.
No, I
didn't do anything.
I thought Jeff Goldblum interrupted the show.
No, he didn't.
Was that John Carney, maybe?
No.
Okay.
So, So I'm going to give it like 4 out of 10, but it's
4
fun.
Out of 10. Well, that's horrible.
Yeah. Well, because it's not a particularly good movie, but it's,
well,
it's a reasonable summer blockbuster. Go turn your brain off and you'll have fun.
It's a destruction movie.
It really is. I haven't seen destruction sort of on this scale. It's rated PG-13 and hundreds of thousands of people have to be dying in this movie. They don't really show it, but you definitely get that impression. It really focuses on The Rock and his family. Alexandra Daddario plays his...
Hello.
Plays his daughter. And if you're a fan of her, watch the first season of True Detective.
Hey, did The Rock...
I'm a fan of her both.
Oh. Was The Rock like the lead in Escape from Witch Mountain?
Yeah, sort of. You could
Escape
see that.
From Witch Mountain. I've never heard any of these. Escape from Witch Mountain.
That was a Disney movie.
Oh, plays
it was a
taxi
remake.
Driver, I believe, in
yes.
which he has
yeah.
to escort two young alien children to Witch Mountain.
Yeah.
You got to get out more, Bill. Wait a minute. You're out all the time. What are you talking about? You're
not, I'm not going to movie theaters across the country, clearly.
I've got a few other quick stories.
Yeah. Please take as much time as you want. If I can just sit here for the rest of the show, that'd be fantastic.
I think you'd be all right with that. I'm not certain about the listeners. Maybe wearing thin after that comic book talk. June 21st, Jaws coming back to theaters. They're re-releasing it because it turns 40 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
So I did not see this on the big screen.
I saw it in Greenville, Texas. Go ahead. Sorry.
And what was that like on the big screen?
It was interesting. It was cool. The part that you jumped out of your seat was when that guy's head came floating, you know, when he was diving down and checking out that boat.
Yes.
And then the guy's head floats through and everybody went, ah, and screamed, including me.
Is that a movie that holds up, would you say, 40 years?
Yes.
You still watch it today and it's still okay.
I love watching it today.
Here's how you know you can watch it today. I've got a clip, and this is from one of the, in my opinion, one of the all-time great soliloquies in film.
Soliloquy.
I'll never put on a life jacket again. So 1,100 men went in the war. 316 men come out. The sharks took the rest June the 29th, 1945. Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
There you go. That's the Indianapolis. It's the USS Indianapolis soliloquy he's talking about. The ship went down, and sharks ate, 700 men.
That was Quinn. I love that character.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
He was also in The Sting, incidentally enough.
Really?
He played Lanigan, the main bad guy.
So they're going to show it in theaters.
They're going to show it in theaters. It's only 500 theaters. It's one of, if you ever go to the movies and you're there early, you always see these commercials for special event. You can see the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Your advertisement here.
Exactly. This is one of those productions.
What happened there?
Fathom Events. It's probably another ad playing on my computer. Oh. Fathomevents.com. If you want tickets, you can see where that is. And it's definitely worth introducing a new generation to. Like, I never saw it on the big screen, so I'm going to try and find a place to go watch it. I'm a huge fan of it.
Real quick, what's the first movie you remember seeing on the big screen as a kid?
Aladdin.
How old are you?
31.
Mine's like E.T. I'm not that much old. I'm 35.
What's yours, Ian? On the big screen?
I would have no recollection of that, what the first one would be.
Yeah, that's the one I remember.
It was at the drive-in.
You know where it was? The drive-in, and it was in Crestwood Mall, but what's their
66
the
drive-in?
There. Yeah,
it was 66. The 66 drive-in there.
That's what I remember. Yeah.
Aladdin was 92, so I was like 8. It's not what. How many 7 and 6 year olds are going to?
Well,
movies?
My brain must have been forming a little earlier.
We used to go to 270 drive-in all the time at West Florissant and 270, right there. I think there's a Big Lots in there now, and it's all that. That shopping center right there, but that was 270 drive-in. And then there was North Twin over...
Are you going to mention every drive-in in St. Louis?
Yeah. Then there was St. Anne. Then there was the Olympic. That was the one to go to.
The Olympic drive-in?
Yeah. What they called X-rated movies, but it wasn't... There was dirty movies there.
And then for big film fans, I don't know how to transition from what he talks about.
I don't either.
Join the rest of the crowd.
Film fans or fantasy league fans, there is now a fantasy film league out there. This is really convoluted, but go to fantasyfilmleague.wordpress.com and you can join this. You get essentially fake money to hire actors to your studio, and then when they appear in a real film, you get money, this fake money, based on how their real film performs.
You lost me at fake money.
But it's like fantasy football. You got to get better players constantly.
Yeah.
So if you feel like doing that, that is available now, which I think is very interesting. And then the last piece of news I have, Andy Serkis, they have revealed his character's name in the new Star Wars movie. Are you aware who Andy Serkis is?
I don't know.
He played Gollum. He's a motion capture actor. He played Caesar in the new... Planet of the Apes movies. At some point, this guy's going to win an Academy Award because he's great at it.
Is that the Lord of the Rings thing, the Gollum?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, what was the romantic comedy you were going to mention?
Oh, Aloha. You want to go Aloha. Back to that? Okay. No, we can. But Andy Serkis is in Star Trek coming out, The Force Awakens. And he
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Sorry. Supreme Boy. Leader Snoke.
He was a comic book guy.
I was just mixed those two up. That's horrible. That's horrible. Then we've got Aloha that's coming out. Romantic comedy. I have not seen this. It's directed by Cameron Crowe as Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Bill Murray, and I haven't heard a single good thing about it.
Oh, that's too bad. I like that Bradley Cooper. I think he's a good actor. I like him.
I do too, but Cameron Crowe hasn't made a good movie since Almost Famous, and that's 15 years ago, and then Jerry Maguire before that, so Cameron Crowe is in a rough place right now. But Aloha's out this weekend. Not a huge weekend. We just had the worst Memorial Day weekend in over 20 years, and it doesn't look like it's going to get any
I think they should redo
weekend.
The movie The Birds with Ethan Hawke and Cameron Crowe.
Gosh!
On that note... Don't you wish you had a theme song to play off about now?
I do. This would be great. But
there's no theme song.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. I'm sorry you had to hear that. Wow, unbelievable. That's Colin Jeffrey, everybody.
Colin Jeffrey, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Brought to you by Oric and the St. Louis Area Home Care Centers, online at oric.com. We need to break, probably, huh?
Yes.
We'll do that. We'll come back. And this is the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right. Let's check traffic now. Here's Tim Weiland.
All right. You've got a crash on southbound 270. Actually, it's affecting north and southbound just before Gravoy. The left lane is blocked. It's a pickup truck that's in the median on the median wall. So traffic right now, it figures my computer just crept out here. So when I saw the backup was from Olive down through Gravoy, and then northbound traffic was slow from Tesson Ferry. You're heavy eastbound 40 downtown from Grand to the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got another crash on westbound 44 that had the right lane blocked near Antire. Traffic is jammed back to Big Bend. And we're looking at southbound 170 is slowing now from Old Bonham down through Highway 40. And this report is brought to you by St. Louis Bread Company. Dear obsessed fans of St. Louis Bread Company's strawberry, poppy seed, and chicken salad, stop driving by and staring at their windows. The strawberry, poppy seed, and chicken salad has returned only at St. Louis Bread Company. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's a second. I mean, how often do you get a chance like this?
To get instant updates on scores, guests, news, events, and more, follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
And is our audience going to love it?
But with 1.6 million accidents a year due to distracted driving, it may not be a good idea to do it behind the wheel.
I'm telling you, no animals were actually hurt making this promo.
Go to KTRS.com and join the conversation.
It all seems to be part of some sort of crazy pattern.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
Homes are selling very quickly in today's market. Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group is with us. Kathy, how should buyers prepare when looking for a new home?
Well, align yourself with a knowledgeable agent team like us. Homes are selling quickly and often for above asking price. We network with other agents to find coming soon homes before they even hit the market.
Kathy Helbig, what makes buying or selling experience different with your group?
We have one of the highest selling real estate groups because we have a team of specialists dedicated to a client's individual needs, such as design and staging, marketing, and buying. Buyer specialist.
How are you using technology to help your client?
Our clients can utilize iPad minis that are preloaded with various apps that help make the home buying process smooth and fun.
Great.
It allows for direct communication with our clients, and they have the most up-to-date information right at their fingertips.
That's fantastic. That's Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group and co-owner of Keller Williams Realty West Real Estate. She's an expert on KSDK Channel 5, and she's with us weekly on the Big 550 KTRS. Check her out online at KathyHelbigGroup.com or 314-276-SOLD.
The next time you're in your basement, look up. What do you see? If it's a vast expanse of pipes, ducts, wires, and the supports of the floor above, it's not exactly what you'd call attractive.
Ew!
And if your basement is also your man cave, the horrible acoustics from all that stuff above your head makes your electronics sound terrible, even with the best sound system. You need the experts. From the Ceiling Center. The Ceiling Center specializes in ceilings, as well as flooring for your basement. They do commercial as well as residential projects. The Ceiling Center installs metal ceilings, acoustical ceilings, even decals of your favorite sports teams. They also install all types of flooring, like carpeting, hardwood, and tile. And here's the good part. The Ceiling Center has more variety than those big big box stores with over 20 different tiles on display, all at lower prices than those big box stores. The Ceiling Center has been owned by the same family since 1987 and has a reputation for doing ceilings and floors right the first time. Change your basement from to
nice
with the help of the Ceiling Center on St. Charles Rock Road in Bridgeton, a half mile west of I-270. Online at theceilingcenter.com.
You turned your furnace off and you're getting ready to turn on your air conditioner. Is it ready for this St. Louis summer? You know, at some point this summer, it's going to be 95 degrees in the shade at 9 o'clock at night. Well, if your air conditioner can't take it and it's not going to make it another year, can I recommend Gelmish & Sons? My friends at Gelmish & Sons have teamed up with Lennox to install a brand new energy-saving system for you for a price of $2,895. That's right, a full heating and cooling Lennox system installed in your home for less than $3,000. Call Gelmish & Sons today for your free estimate. Big Red Trucks, Mike Shannon approved. Gelmish & Sons has been in the business since 1950. The family business of heating and cooling. Gelmish & Sons, 314-993-1110. That's 314-993-1110. Or GelmishandSons.com. It's that family you trust since 1950. For a full Lennox system, $28.95. Gelmish & Sons or GelmishandSons.com.
Tired of the same old, same old? Bishop's Post is alive with activity every day, with Monday through Friday happy hours featuring cocktail, beer, and wine specials, plus fabulous offerings on their new bar menu for only $7. Also, don't forget their famous brunch on Sundays from 10 till 3. Bishop's Post has a terrific patio and three private dining rooms, which are perfect for all occasions. Bishop's Post is located off Chesterfield Parkway West, next to Chesterfield Mall. To book an event, contact Jenna. And for more information, visit bishopspost.com.
Custom closets have never been so affordable. Call St. Louis Closet Company today at 314-781-9000 and schedule your free in-home estimate and get organized today.
This is Christine, recruiter for the VA healthcare system. We are seeking full-time medical technologists to provide pathology and laboratory services for our veterans at our local facility. The VA offers competitive benefits including pension, 401k, paid vacation, holidays, and sick leave. Serious candidates, please call me at 314-488-8252. Be a part of this winning team and honor our veterans. Call me, Christine, at 314-488-8252. The VA healthcare system, healthcare for heroes.
Each and every weekday morning at 6:50, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus gives us insights into the financial markets and investing. To get your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and tune in weekday mornings at 6:50 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Welcome back. It's the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. Bill Cleveland in for Frank Opinion. Good to have you with us. One of those things that you'll never really understand and nobody will ever be able to understand is the gas prices. And today I filled up here in Maryland Heights. It was $2.45. Down where I live in the Kirkwood, Crestwood, in that area, $2.75.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know. How is that even possible?
I don't get that.
Is
I put gas in my car the other day for $2.79, like one or two days ago.
He up here?
No, it was McDonald Boulevard and.
So then, what is it about this area that would allow the price to be at $2.45? I mean, that just makes no sense to me.
It's very, I don't know. I want the gas wars back again.
Well, maybe one day. So I'm doing a little remodeling at my house and. Nothing major, but I have to, I'm getting rid of things and I'm going through and I'm sorting things. And, you know, the house that I bought does not have a basement and it does not have a garage. And the reason I went with that is because I remember my dad's house. And this really, I think, is most people that have a basement. There's always that kind of, it's like a kind of musty smell. And there's just sort of, there's the possibility of
leaking.
And I was like, I don't want to mess with that. But the big thing was.
But there's always storage.
Well, and that's what I was about to say. I don't want to store any crap. I don't want anything. I'm like, I for whatever reason, the last couple of years, I've just decided I don't need stuff. I'm just like getting rid of things. I don't need it. And so, as part of my sort of remodeling a few things and a couple of rooms and changing things around, I'm sitting on the carpet and I've taken everything out of the closets and I'm just going through stuff. And I'm like, do I need this? No, I don't. Do I need this? No. Do I need this? No. And one of the boxes that I came across was a box of, well, videotapes and cassettes. Now, first of all, I don't have a VCR anymore or a cassette player. But the box of cassettes were old radio, what I think we called air checks. And this was basically you would put a cassette in a player, and every time you would turn the microphone on, it would record what you were saying on the air. And so then at the end of your shift, you would have a little sample of now you've done
so it's all air check, right?
All of these air checks from
none are music cassettes that you have of
no, none of them were
because
music.
I saw an article the other day, cassettes are making a comeback.
No,
yes, actually, in the article, it said a couple newer, newer bands had just released some of their new things on cassette just to for the nostalgia, kind of like how vinyl is. Has come back. So the next is I can't remember what bands there were that because it was Record Store Day in April, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Weezer released one of their new things on cassette.
So who's got a cassette player? Who has a cassette player anymore?
You're going to see that next. I'm sure the boombox will come back then as a nostalgic thing where people will carry those around with the 8D cell batteries inside them.
Oh, God. You were on the phone, Dan. I was just telling Ian that I had I found a box of old air check tapes.
I heard that.
Yeah, and so I briefly considered bringing a couple in I'm mortified. I don't want to hear it.
Do we have anything to play? Do we have a cassette player?
Do we have a cassette player in the studio?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, good.
Do we even have one in any of the other studios?
I think there are. I mean, I don't know if they're still hooked up. I know there are some still in the building.
Can you even buy? I mean, like, would you be able to go and buy
blank
one
cassettes?
Somewhere? Well, that or a player.
So. Oh, I think you can.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Really? Absolutely. I bet you can buy a USB one that plugs right into your computer.
Yeah, and you have that. They have the turntables now.
Best Buy, you couldn't go in and go, hey, I want to buy a cassette player.
You might be able to. They have turntables like that now. You can get turntables USB.
Yeah, but I look at vinyl and I look at cassettes as two completely different things. Where vinyl, I think it's probably easier to store. But the cassettes were so, you know, they were so unreliable. Like you would get you had to put the pencil in to like twist the tape back if it got screwed up in the play. Vinyl, I think is much more reliable. I don't think. Of course, if you scratch it, I guess you're screwed too. But
yeah.
So I thought about bringing one of those in, but I don't want to hear what I sound like now. I can't imagine even 10 years ago. But everybody that works in radio has a box of those cassettes. Do you have some?
I have a box of cassettes. Do, yeah. Take Rich's call.
Since Dan has told me what to do, I hope everybody heard that. Rich, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Real well, thanks.
Tell him what you just told me, Rich.
I sold, at the end of last year, I had a high-end audiophile system for years and years, and it has not been hooked up for about 10 years. And getting ready to move, and I look in the corner, and here's this Nakamichi CR5XA tape deck, cassette tape deck. I know I paid a lot of money for it, and I said, I just can't pitch this.
Yeah.
Went out on eBay and looked, and I saw there was some appetite in the marketplace for those things. I put it out on eBay, and I sold it for over, I forget the number, $700-something.
Oh, my God!
The first day, I sold it the first day, and the guy had to pay $50 to, he was in Austin, Texas, and pay $50 to ship it to Austin.
$700?
Wow. Over seven.
Yeah. Holy mackerel.
So here's the other thing, is it didn't work.
Did he know that?
I put it in the ad. I said, on a scale of 1 to 10 for Nakamichi cassette decks that don't work, this is a 9.
That don't work.
So I'm assuming he knows how to fix it.
I called the guy in San Francisco about getting it fixed because you can't get them fixed either.
Right.
And the guy said, it's probably something pretty simple, a couple hundred bucks. I said, well, maybe I'll send it out to you and get it fixed. He said, just go ahead and sell it. Somebody will think they're going to fix it, and I'll get it anyway.
Wow.
So I put it out there, and the guy took it as is and never heard a peep from him. That was last year. I was shocked and wonderfully shocked.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard stories about these, and he used the term audiophile, and that's what they're called, audiophiles, where they'll have a $25,000 turntable. I mean, they will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on their sound system.
Audiophile is not a thing. It's a description of a person. They're an audiophile? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I think that was the
term. Well, yeah, and the audiophile equipment is what the audiophile listens to. I still have the Macintosh. That's Macintosh. It's out of New York, and this stuff, when I bought it 25 years ago, I paid $14,000-$15,000 for the amp, and I mean, this is just beautifully high end. It's unbelievable the sound you have.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, they
claim a couple of JBL studio speakers with it, and it was just wonderful.
Yeah, I think those expensive turntables even have like diamond needles to transfer. Yeah,
but again, I get the turntable thing. I totally understand that. But the cassette tape, I don't understand.
Everything
that.
Nostalgic is coming back now. And especially people like in their 30s to 40s now, where all the stuff in the 80s was their childhood. It's all coming full
circle. $750, that's more than nostalgia to me.
Yeah, there's another name for it, right, Rich?
Some people in those 30s and 40s have a lot of money to burn now that they didn't have when they were kids. So
The guy who was going to fix it asked me, he said, well, why are you going to sell it? Why don't you just use it? And I said, I don't have any cassettes.
Yeah.
He said, oh, well, that's a good reason. So anyway, I thought I'd share that story with you guys.
All right. He said anyway.
So anyway.
All right, thanks, Rich.
It may have some value for you.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Rich. All right, thanks, Rich.
Sure thing, buddy.
See you later.
Here's the
problem I have, nobody wants any cassette tapes of me talking. That's all that I have.
Yeah, well, nobody wants those.
Eventually, the tape disintegrates.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I mean, there's nothing you can do about tape because it is a medium that just over time, well, here's one right here. I don't think that this isn't the same model that he has, but here's another Nakamichi ZX7 mint condition, full
ZX7.
Service.
ZX7
works perfectly for $1,100.
Oh my goodness!
That's what they're asking.
But that's
what
they're
the
asking
bid is.
For. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they will get that.
Wow,
$200 for shipping.
I have a boombox at my house, and it has a cassette thing in it. It has a CD on top, a CD player.
No, I mean, these are the ones where the tape deck is, you know, a foot by 3 feet long.
Right.
I mean, these are parts of a console.
Oh,
A normal one that you and I might go buy, just like we just mentioned, Best Buy, a little small. That nobody's buying
with
those.
The speaker on it, with the big giant buttons by
nobody's,
the handle on the end? No, I don't
those.
Think.
Anybody. Nobody's buying those. That's what I would have. That would be mine. That would be what I hung on to. Yeah. Well, see, now this guy's got me thinking, what do I have around the house that might come back and you know.
You never know. It's so hard to pick trends, though, on what
I remember
what
my uncle used to. My uncle used to collect these laser discs, and he was always saying that they were going to be, you know, big. And do you know what I'm talking about? Like, so they were.
Oh, sure. They were the
movies,
size of a record. But,
yes, but they were.
But they
played
silver.
Movies, and you had it. And nothing. Nobody wanted them. Nobody cares. Nobody still cares.
Well, and we have in the studio here. I don't know how much this was used for consumer-wise, but mini-disc was supposed to be the next big thing. And I think my younger sister had a mini-disc player where you could put your own music on it, and this is the next medium that's going to take over everything else. Look at how small it is compared to a regular CD. No, didn't happen.
Wow. All right. You got to play some commercials here?
Yes, I always have commercials to play. Right.
Well,
why don't we take Ann's call real quick?
Ann. Oh, sure. I'd rather talk to Ann than play a commercial. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Good afternoon. I was calling to try to connect with Rich, who just called in about his cassette player, and he specifically talked about a Macintosh system. My father was an audiophile during the 40s and 50s, and when he passed, I inherited his Macintosh system, as well as some Heath kit and some other things that he had purchased and had made over the years. And about 500 old tubes that are new in the box from World War II
It's like the yard sale.
Over. Yeah.
No, I just bought a house with a third floor so that I could set the system up and I can have a ballroom.
Oh.
I'm looking for somebody like Rich to talk to. Yeah. So is there any way you can connect us?
Well,
if Rich is listening, can call back in and give my phone number off air.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why don't you give Dan your phone number and then Rich, if he's still listening, hopefully he can call back and you two can connect.
Now, what did you want Rich to do? Come and hook all that up for you?
Just to give me some advice on where to.
I've had it all rebuilt, so it's been cleaned up and it works. It's beautiful.
Wow. Have you gone to like the internet or YouTube or anything? Because I guarantee you there are other people out there that have you tried that avenue yet?
Not seriously, but I have. Yeah, I know some people, but a few network of people. But I'm always looking for more people. I have records that go back to the 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, I inherited a lot of really wonderful things.
No, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dan will take your number. The only catch is if we do connect, you got to have us all over for a party and your brand new
listening party.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do.
All right, Ann, hang on a second, okay?
All right.
Thanks. All right. That's cool. That's neat. I wish I had a collection of stuff, but like I said, I don't want to hang on it. I don't want anything.
Right.
No. I guess we got to go.
Yes.
Now. All right. We'll be back. It's the Big 550 KTRS. Meet.
Let's get a check on traffic now. Here's Timothy Weiland.
All right. They've just opened up the left lane on southbound 270 before Gravois. That traffic is jammed pretty solid now from south of Page all the way around to Gravois. Now, northbound traffic, you still have the two left lanes blocked. You're back up to Highway 55. They've cleared the crash on westbound 44 at Antire. Now, westbound 44 is still jammed up pretty tight now between Berry Road out through Bowles, and on eastbound 40, things are heavy from Bowles up through 270. We've got southbound 170 drivers slowing from Olive down through Highway 40. Eastbound 40, you're stacked up now from west of Grand up to the Poplar Street Bridge, and eastbound 270 slowing now McDonald through 170. And this traffic report brought to you by St. Louis Bread Company. Dear obsessed fans of St. Louis Bread Company's strawberry poppy seed and chicken salad, stop driving by and staring in their windows. The strawberry poppy seed and chicken salad has returned, only at St. Louis Bread Company. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland of the Big 550 KTRS.
The excitement that is sweeping the nation has finally arrived in the Gateway City. St. Louis Football Club, the area's newest professional soccer team, is playing in front of sold-out crowds at the Worldwide Technology Soccer Park. Fans are loving the authentic soccer experience. Tailgating, cheering, chanting, and much more. It's a party you won't want to miss. St. Louis FC takes on...